life. It's called the law of reciprocation that God has established. As a person sows, so shall they reap. That's kind of frightening, isn't it? Sobering, when you really think about it, the aspects of it. In some ways, it terrifies some people because they have done a lot of things in their lives they wish to God they'd never done, and it may well come back and haunt them someday. It could. And so as you and I look at this aspect of relationships and engagement this month, there's a certain principles that I believe are very essential that all of us must develop in the aspects of who we are as people, as individuals. And the aspects of that is so very important. As it is, again, a law, the law of cause and effect. The aspects, again, is the effect that it comes out of whatever it is that we may cause to happen. As you got your worksheet there in front of you, you'll see that again, it says very clearly that every act rewards itself. You understand that? Our actions are molded and they are caused by the thoughts that we have in our minds. And these two combined and they create who we are as a person, our character, as we see and as we are seen by other people. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, as a person thinks in their heart, so are they. So are they. So in what you think of others and what you think of yourself and how you project that element within yourself is how you're going to build relationships. Okay? Not only in your own family, your wife, your husband, your children, the people you work with, we're certainly talking about engaging in every area of our individual lives, no matter what that area might be. Because the point is that we are a people who are to be building relationships with individuals out there, especially in the world, who do not know Christ, who have no hope in this world. As the scripture read this morning from Brother Don, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are to be telling and asking and sharing the gospel message. Be reconciled to God. You need to reconcile your life with God. Because indeed, that is the most essential element of life that you and I, as Christians, have come to understand anyway. And yet, as I look at most people and I interact with a lot of people and relationships, I worked in the world for quite a length of time, and I found this law found very deeply within the elements of people I dealt with. You know, well, what's in it for me? What am I going to get out of it? You know? I mean, the aspects of that, and yet when you look at Jesus' instructions here today, you'll see the fact is, he says, you should do whatever you do, not expecting anything in return. Did you catch that? Did y'all catch that? In other words, my motive for why I do something has to be sincere. It has to be from a pure sincerity that I'm not a put-on. I'm not just acting. I'm sincere. This is me. This is who I am. And when I project and give myself to another person, whatever, then they're going to get the real me, not some cover over that I have covered over myself and trying to make myself be something that I'm not. And that is a lot of that goes on in our world today. Good relationships are based on the basis of giving, not getting. Underline it, highlight it, do whatever you got to do to get that in your mind. I don't care what the relationship is. It is going to be built not on what you receive, but what on you give. The principle is very clearly, Jesus made that emphatic. I mean, it is emphatic contained within the context of our scripture today. If we can get it here, let's see. Did I turn it on? I did. All right. What's going on? Well, what would I do without you? All right. So the law that says, do unto others, treat them as what? The way you want to be treated. Is that clear? How do you want to be treated? Then you treat other people the same way. That means the waitress, that means the people at work, that means anyone and everyone in your family, that means everyone. You decide Make up your mind, as we're going to look at it in a minute, how do you want other people treating you? Then you decide that you're going to start treating other people the same way. Is that difficult? You know, how many of us treat other people the way they treat us? How many of us live a life of reactionary? We react. Or rather than initiate by the fact that we are the one who is doing it. If you love those who love you, what credit is that? Sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that? Every sinner lends to a sinner in order to receive back the same amount. In other words, as a Christian, you need to make a decision that when you're mailed in relationship, you're going to live above the norm. You're not going to live by the standards of the world. You're going to raise your standard above that element. Jesus certainly did. And we're to be the light of the world, are we not? We don't hide our light under a bushel. We set it up on a mountain so it can be seen, the aspect. Well, how's that going to happen? Because we go beyond the expected. We don't do what's just expected. We go beyond what is expected. You know the word kindness? The word kindness? The Bible says God's loving kindness abides forever. Means that God goes beyond the norm. God goes far beyond the expected. And love is kind. So that means I need to make my mind up that when I'm starting to interact with people and treat people, I'm not going to treat people on the norm like the world does. I'm going to raise my level of anticipation of how I'm going to treat other people. Okay? That's important. It really is. Sinners, in order to receive back, but love your enemies, do good, lend, expect nothing in return. Your reward will be great. You will be sons of the Most High. I just love going out to my sons and my son-in-law and whatever and see the, you know, my cross-cut saw and everything that they've had for 2 or 3 years. I bet you anything, if I went out in my children's garages and whatever, I could come back and fill my own. How many of you know about that? You know, the aspects of that, okay? But this is the point. It says, don't judge. You will be judged. Do not condemn, or you will not be condemned. Pardon, you will be pardoned. Given, it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap as good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, for by the standard of your measure, it will be measured to you in return. The word is give. Give. Okay? So how has your past attitudes affected your relationships right now? What are your attitudes towards people? Your present aspects, okay? Are you willing to go the extra mile? Are you willing to go the extra mile? Jesus said somebody asked you to go a mile, you go two. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to do that? When somebody asks you to do something, asks for something, are you willing to give it to them, lend it to them, not expecting anything in return? How does every act reward itself? What does that mean to you in developing good relationships? Well, it means exactly what it says. The golden rule is very basic to our relationship. Muhammad and all the other religious leaders of others, they did not say, do unto others as you want them to do to you. It said, do unto others as they do to you. If you read the writings, it's a whole different ballgame if you start treating people the way you want to be treated. And aspects of that, okay? Answer this question. How do you want others to treat you? Have you ever sat down and thought about it? You ever thought about how you're treating your husband, your wife, your children? You ever really sat down and really evaluated how you're treating people at work? How you're interacting with them? How do they see you? It's important, isn't it? You have to make up your mind how you want other people to treat you, and then what do? You treat them the same way. You treat them exactly how you want to be treated. For instance, how many of you want to be encouraged? The Bible says encourage one another daily because the days are evil. You know that? We all need to be encouraged, right? I shared with you the two buffaloes that stand alongside the road. These guys stops and squeals the tires and stops, and one guy rolls the window down. He starts yelling at the buffalo, says, "You're the most ugliest, dirtiest, filthy creatures that God ever created on the face of the earth. Why in the world are you standing out by the road and destroying all the beauty of the earth? Why in the world did you just get lost?" And they rolled down the window and drove off, and one buffalo said to the other, "I just think I heard a discouraging word." Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know what the book of Ephesians says? The Bible, Ephesians says, "Let every word that proceeds out of your mouth be for the purpose of edifying, that it might administer grace upon the hearer." And then the next thing it says, "Forgive," which we'll look at, "others." But then it says, "Grieve not the Spirit." You know how you grieve the Spirit? If He's in us, you grieve Him by what comes out of your mouth. Because what comes out of your mouth comes out of your heart. Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks, doesn't it? Yeah, it does. If you want to be encouraged, then be an encourager. Encourage people at work. Tell them, encourage them. Don't lie, but encourage them, okay? People waiting you, waitresses, whatever, you're interacting with people. You're going to a store and somebody's waiting on you. You're going through the line and somebody's taking your money and taking your stuff, whatever. Look at them. Look at something that you can say to tell them that you, and don't lie, be honest. Compliment people. "Hey, I like your hairdo. Just got a new hairdo, didn't you? I notice every time you ladies come in here whether you got a new hairdo or not." But you're conscious. You become conscious of that. You become conscious of that. I noticed Sandy the first time she came in here with a cross on. I saw that cross immediately because I'd not seen it before. How conscious of you are people? How much aware are you of the people you interact with and who they are? And when you see something about them change, whatever, that you could encourage them, compliment them, do it. Do it. Isn't that what you want people to do to you? Huh? Now, don't you dare come up and say, "Bill, I notice you've lost 2 or 3 more hairs in the back of your head." I don't need to hear that, okay? But we need to be a people of encouragement. People need encouraging out there. People need encouraging out there. You know, man, I tell you, I know when my sons were learning to mow the yard, they didn't do a perfect job, I guarantee you, okay? But I didn't go out there and point out all the flaws and all the things they did wrong. The first thing I did is showed them all the things they did right and how good a job they did here and there and everywhere. But let me just show you something that maybe if you want to do it a little better, you could do this. Is that a difference? Judge not that you be judged. I mean, are people human? Huh? Are they human? You ever had a waitress mess up your order? And you get mad and all upset. "That's not what I ordered, for crying out loud. What's the matter with you? Goodness sakes. I want to see your manager." You know what I do? I said, "It's awful, isn't it, being human?" That's what I say. Nice smile. You know, had a waitress yesterday at Cracker Barrel, Pam. She made 2 big mistakes. And before we were all done, she came back over and she said, "You know, I love waiting on people like you." You know, seriously, I don't care. Remember, everybody's human. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody needs encouragement. Encourage people. Take the advantage of become an encourager. I need it. We all need it, don't we? Huh? Don't we? Doesn't that motivate you more than having people point out all the negative as far as your life is concerned? I mean, how much of you want to be appreciated? We all want to be appreciated, don't we? Well, grandmother had taken her grandson down to the beach. Big old wave come up and swept the grandson out into the ocean. Oh, she got on her knees, started begging God, "Please, God, save my grandson, save my grandson." And about that time, another wave came and rolled him right back up to her. So, you know what she did? She got on her knees. She looked up. He had a hat on. Now, think about it. Think about it. How deeply do we really appreciate the little things of life, the aspects of life? And do we show appreciation? Do we say thank you? Do we write a card of thank you? Do we tell people that? I mean, there may be someone, basically, or whatever, that you at work, I had this happen to me several times. They went out of the way to help me and do something that they didn't need to do. I could have just taken it for granted, right? Well, you know, no. Showing deep appreciation is how you build relationships, especially out there in the world today. I'm serious. You show appreciation, and I guarantee you those people will start appreciating you. You encourage others, I guarantee you in time they'll become, and you'll get it back. That's exactly what Jesus is trying to tell us. Whatever it is you want life to give to you, you first have got to give it. You give, and then it's pressed down, then it's shaken together, then it's poured over, then it comes back to your lap. And by the same measure, you determine the measure, don't you? So if you want to be a little encourager, a little appreciation, sure, go ahead, but don't expect a lot back. Isn't it amazing? Such a rule, a concept that Jesus gave in that aspect, and that has become the criteria. I marriage counsel everybody out of that verse. There's no greater verse in the Bible for your husbands and wives than to simply take that verse and apply it into their relationships in every aspect, you know. You want to be forgiven? What did he say? Forgive. Forgive others their trespasses. Forgive them. Forgive them and forgive them. You know? Good grief, you know. Man was sitting there. He had ordered a big T-bone steak and he was waiting for it. Sitting there, it was, and the waiter came white walking over and he had his thumb on his steak. And he said, "What in the world are you doing with your thumb on my steak?" Well, he said, I accidentally dropped it on the floor and I didn't want to drop it again. Now, I have been with people that made fools of themselves in restaurants. People make mistakes. Waitresses make mistakes. Waitresses spill things. They do things. Everybody does things. There's people at work that make mistakes. People are not perfect. Neither are you or I. Neither of us, you know? And we need to be able to just forget it, forgive it. Don't think about it. Don't let it get to us. Don't let it eat at us. Just let go of it. And I guarantee you, people will appreciate that if you are that type of person. Smile about it. Laugh about it. Again, just use this old verbiage. Just simply say, "Oh, man, it's hard being human, isn't it?" I use it all the time, don't I? It's hard being human, isn't it? You ought to see the smile comes on their faces. Okay? Anybody here ever smelt a glass of milk? A glass of water? How many of you, when your child spilled a glass of milk, went Harry Carey? I know parents that did that. You know, like you and I never make mistakes. We've never done anything out of the way. We've never, you know. You got to become, in your mind, a person that projects who you are and what you want to, and how you want to be known and how you want to be seen, how you want to interact with people, how you want people to treat you. You make up your mind by you picturing yourself, because as a person thinks in their hearts, so they become. You're either an encourager or you're not. You either show appreciation or you don't. You're either one who forgives and let go. The only reason people keep skeletons in the closet is so when they want a bone to pick, they know where to find it. A lot of people have bones in their closets. Never let go. Never forgave. But remember, Jesus said, if you don't forgive others, neither will you ever be forgiven. I've been wronged. I've been lied about. But it's my choice whether I'm going to go on and live life or still live and let that be a burden that I'm carrying on my shoulders, right? We all make that kind of choices. How do you want people to listen to you? You want to be listened to? You know, 60% of conversation is listening. 40% is the person talking. That's what they say anyway. Are you really a good listener? Do you look people in the eye when they're talking to you? Let me ask you this question. You're talking, somebody's talking to you sincerely, they're earnestly, and they're sharing with you, and somebody walks up, and you just drop that person, and you turn to that. Is that what you do? Don't you dare do it. Because you just told that person how important you think they are. If somebody's talking to you, I don't care who it is, you look at them, you listen to them, whatever. Somebody comes in to try to interrupt, you hold up your hand and say, just a minute, please. You show that person how important they are to you. You understand that? Because people can be rude. Most people don't say, well, excuse me, or whatever. They just walk in, you know. That's why you don't tell secrets to goats, because they're always butting in. The aspect of that is the aspect of thinking about how important. You want to be listened to, don't you? How do you feel if somebody, and you're talking to somebody, and all of a sudden somebody comes in and interrupts it, and this person turns around, walks away, and talking to them? How does that make you feel? Well, I know people do that. No, when somebody's talking to me, I look them in the eye, and I'm going to pay attention, and I'm going to hear what they have to say. I don't care how important or unimportant it is. I'm going to listen. And if somebody comes in, interrupts, and whatever, I usually just say, wait a minute, please, and I keep listening to this person. Because I want that person to know I have a value for them. They're valuable. They're valuable. You know? How many wives would just like to have a husband that listens? How many times the wife just simply said, you didn't hear a word I said, did you? What? What? Huh? I said, you didn't even hear a word I said. How many times that happened in relationships? You know, you can tune off, you can tune in. You want people to tune in on you? You want people to listen to you? You want people to pay attention to what you have to say? Then you become a good listener. You have to decide that you're going to be a good listener. You have to make that choice. You want other people to understand you? You know? Is that important or isn't it? Some of us Christians are not really good at trying to understand. You know the old adage, you can't really judge or condemn or put yourself in somebody else's position until you've walked a lifetime in their moccasin. We used to say a mile. No. There have been people in this congregation and ministries I've been in over and over again. They're not here because somebody judged them, condemned them, but they didn't understand why they are what they are and what the hell they have gone through and how they've been treated and all the dirt they've had to handle in life and all the aspects of it. Because people have their burdens. We're supposed to bear one another's burden and thus fulfill the law of Christ, aren't we not? Huh? It takes understanding. It takes understanding. It takes process of understanding. And there are others that, yeah, I know, we need to help them to understand themselves, right? And aspects of that. I want to be understood. You know, I don't use my past anymore to use as a crutch to limp along in life. Some people do, and you know who they are, right? But we need to have a heart of understanding. You work with people that have been hurt. Have you ever went up to anyone after you've seen them and how they reacted to something and ask them, you know, you must really be hurting, aren't you? You're hurting, aren't you? Is there something going on I can help you with? You need to talk. Can I pray for you? I can tell you when you really start building relationships, we go to a log jam. We've been going log jam now for a few months, a few weeks, okay? And when the waitress starts coming and sitting down, getting on a chair right beside you, and she sits down to take your orders, you're getting to her. When I go to Sophia's and whatever with other people I'm meeting with, and the waitresses, you know, the aspect, I know every one of them by name. I know how many children they got. I know the problems, the difficulties they're going through. I have them come. They sit down at the table, and I say, what do you need to be prayed for today? I keep telling them, invite them to come, but you're not going to build relationships until you try to understand who they are, why they are, why they act the way they do, what they've gone through, and then be able to deal with it and help them, encourage them, show appreciation for them, understanding, listening, let them talk, let them share their burden to you. How many of them have been divorced today? You know? The aspects of that is unbecomingly. So whatever we practice the golden rule, you and I are going to grow up and be mature. And we're going to be emotionally mature and mentally mature, and we're going to have wisdom we never dreamed we could have. but you got to practice the golden rule. You got to put it into your life that you become a person that's going to start treating other people the exact way you want to be treated. That's in the workplace, that's in your family, that's people at the store, that's at restaurant, whatever. You make up your mind. You decide that you're going to do whatever. You look for opportunities to encourage. You look for opportunities to tell people, man, you just did a great job. We really appreciate how you took care of us today. That was really great. You went beyond. I mean, we got a gratuity yesterday of biscuits and gravy. Julius would have loved it. We didn't ask for it. Jesus brought us, so what's this for? It's just a gratuity. Said, I'd love to be able to wait on ways. Pam. Well, I found out Pam lives here in Grand Ledge. I found out that she indeed goes to church nowhere. She has no affiliation, whatever. You know, you got to make an effort to get to know people. That makes sense. Relationships, engaging with people, isn't that what it is? You know, I remember, I tell you, I wanted to ask her to marry me probably 6 months before I did. You know what I was afraid of? I was afraid she was going to reject me and she was going to say no, even though I knew that wasn't true. I still had to deal with that, didn't I? Yeah? How many had the same problem? Isn't a lot of the reason we don't come out of our comfort zone and do engaging with people is because we're afraid we may be rejected? Huh? Well, what happened to your Lord? Was he rejected? Yeah. Isaiah 53 said he was rejected and despised of man, wasn't he? Well, he went through it. He dealt with it. But look at the change that he made in the world. History dated by his birth and death, isn't it? What's going to be your legacy? How are people going to remember you? How are they going to remember you? As an encourager, as one who deeply appreciated people, as one who was a great and unbelieving, forgiving person who didn't carry grudges and wasn't bitter. Are they going to remember you as a person who really listened and cared? You think God listens to you? Are you going to be one who really, really, really has that aspect of understanding? Very important. I fell in love with Marilyn deeply when I really understood her. And I'm not saying this. Marilyn stands 6 foot, 10 inches tall, in my estimation. You think she feels that way? How do you think she feels when people come up and say, "Boy, you're short, aren't you?" Yeah. Anybody ever try to understand what people deal with when they have big ears and big nose? And people make comment on it? You understand people? You understand why they and what they have to deal with in their life? Why? Because of other people and what they say and what they do and how they treat them. Okay? I believe my wife has more wisdom in her little finger than a lot of people do. Why? Because I know her. I know who she is, I know what she's learned, and I know how much she cares. I really do. About me, about us children, family, whatever. How well do you know your wife? How well do you really know your husband? How well do you know your children? That's the beginning point. Because if you don't have it right at home, you're not going to get it right anywhere else. I believe that with all my heart. If I can't build relationships with her and with my children, whatever, and get them to respect and honor me and appreciate me and all the other aspects of what I've been talking about, there's surely not going to be possible for me to go out there and be something I'm not as a man, as a father, and as a husband. I believe that. So we're dealing with engagement. Next week, Bob's is going to do Sunday school. Come back for Sunday school next week, okay? And worship. And we're going to be talking more about the aspects of engaging in the relationship of helping us come to a point where we can maybe get to a point we can really talk to people about Jesus Christ. He's the best friend you got. If you can't talk about your best friend to people, then who are you going to talk about? How does it come to that point, you know? So as we've shared this morning, I believe this is Jesus' heart. It's his lesson, came out of the Beatitudes, didn't it? You know, the Bible says he opened up his mouth. If you take the background of that, it means that what he did in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is he poured out his heart. He poured out his heart in those three chapters. And if you really want to be a person that God can honor and glorify himself through, then you need to take Matthew 5, 6, and 7 and put it into practice. You need to meditate on it. You need to consume it, assimilate it, and try to the best of your ability to live it. Okay? Anybody got any questions? Any questions on what we've shared here today? Has this been helpful? Giving you some insight, maybe a little bit. This is just the beginning. We're going to deal with more with the personal aspects of how to get to know people. But right now, I just want us to know that we really ought to be a people who are building good relationships in home, in every aspect, and especially right here. Before you leave, why don't we encourage one another? Why don't we tell somebody how much you appreciate? Did you appreciate Sue's class this morning, lady? Lucy says yes. How many of us tell one another how much we appreciated? She spent time studying, you know that. How many of you told Alex lately how much you appreciate him and Anna and what they do? No, I'm serious. You know how much time he spends? He gets here early, early. He works hard to put this all together so you and I can come here and sing and have a time together and worship. He really does. You know, people need to be appreciated. Amen? And tell them. Tell them. So let's stand together, and I'm going to ask Bob Hayes, if you will, before we sing our closing, to have a prayer for us, all right? Mm-hmm.